Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the Digital Media Association, I would like to thank you and the WIPO Secretariat for inviting me here this morning, hopefully to demystify the subject of webcasting and its technological features. The purpose of internet webcasting is the same as broadcasting, that is, to deliver audio and video programming to consumers. The process of webcasting has some unique technological features that enable real-time transmissions using the internet. I will describe first in an overview and then in increasing detail the essential technology behind what is called streaming transmissions and the differences between streaming and downloading. Then the process of webcasting, going from the server to the end user, and then the technical means of webcast piracy that the webcasting industry faces. First, what is streaming media? The technology that is used to enable internet webcasting is called streaming. It was developed in 1995. The essence of streaming can be defined as the real-time transmission of audio and video from a source, that is a computer that is known as a server, via a computer network to many recipients or from point to point for immediate performance. The essential elements involved in streaming are, first, the media, that is, the audio or video content. This content is encoded in a format that can easily be transmitted over the internet for playback using particular software applications that are located on the user's PC. Once encoded, the content is stored on a server. Upon request from a webcast listener or viewer, that is the equivalent of turning on your radio or your television set, the server sends a stream of data to that listener or viewer. The device used by the end user or the client generally is a personal computer, but it does not have to be. A number of consumer electronics companies have created devices that look like radios and are capable of tuning AM and FM radio and webcast stations. Streaming is different from the delivery of web pages. Web pages use static content, such as text or graphics or pictures. These files are stored in data formats that are different from the formats used for storing webcast content. The means of transmission are different. The protocol that is used to send web pages is called the Hypertext Transfer Protocol. It is abbreviated as the letters HTTP that you may see in a website address. Webcasting is sent using other transmission protocols. And your personal computer knows the difference between web pages and webcast content. If you have a web browser on your personal computer, you can view web pages. But your computer will not be able to play webcasts unless you have webcast player software. Fortunately, such software is available for free from all of the major manufacturers. Streaming also is different from downloading. Downloads is the process of delivering an entire file to a user all at once. Downloaded files are intended to be stored on the hard drive of the user's personal computer. Downloads are not intended to be performed immediately as the data is being received. By contrast, webcast streaming sends packets of data, not the entire content all at once. Webcast data is intended to be performed as the data is being received. And webcast data are not intended to be stored in the personal computer. Webcast data are discarded by the personal computer immediately after they have been performed. To illustrate, here you see in green an audio or video file that is stored on a server. The orange line represents a computer communications network that delivers content to the end user at the right. In the process of downloading, an entire file is sent all at once from the server onto the internet. The network may break these files into packets according to internet transmission technology for transfer across the network. But at the end of the transmission process, an exact copy of the entire audio or video file is stored on the hard drive of the end user's personal computer. The user then can decide when to watch or to hear the file that he or she has downloaded at a convenient time. By contrast, streaming media operates differently at each step of this process. For example, in this illustration, audio-video files are stored on a server. They are encoded in a particular way to optimize their transmission over the internet. The streaming software on the server takes the audio or video data and breaks it into small individual packets of data. This can be done to a file that has been stored on a server, or it can be done in real time to data that is transmitted externally to the server from another source. These small packets are sent sequentially over the internet to the end user. The data are compressed to minimize the amount of data that needs to be transmitted without any loss of quality. The end user's computer receives these packets, uncompresses them, and begins to play the data as it is being received. Playback begins as soon as a sufficient amount of data has been received on the end user's computer. In the meantime, more audio and video information continues to be sent by the server to the user's computer in these small packets. So streaming thereby enables the user to enjoy performances in real time, like broadcast television or radio, without waiting to first download an entire program. If the user is listening to or watching a continuous program, the stream of data will continue until the user turns off the player, just like a user of television or radio will stop watching or listening to a program by turning off the power button. In this particular example shown in this illustration, the stream of data has come from a discrete piece of audio or video content, such as a movie or a song. When the data stream is complete, the player stops. The data is gone from the user's PC, and the content no longer is available to the user without requesting it again from the server. That is the webcasting process in an overview. To explain each step in a bit more detail, the first step, as I said, was to place the content on a webcast server. Generally, content is stored on a server in files, such as individual pieces of music. But alternatively, programming can be sent to a server from an outside source. As an example, this could be live programming sent from the equivalent of a broadcast studio. Or this can be programming created at an external location, such as a live webcast of a news, sports, or concert event. The sending of these signals to the server from an external source are much like the way that pre-broadcast signals are sent to a transmitter from remote locations to a television broadcaster. Now, additionally, some programs can be uploaded by a producer to the webcast server as an entire file. This file later will be transmitted by the server to the internet. This is a form of delayed transmission of programming that can be done through webcasting. As noted, audio and video programming must be prepared for streaming over the internet. This process is called encoding, and the encoded content will be performed on particular player software in the user's computer. The most popular streaming formats include Real Media from Real Networks, Windows Media Player from Microsoft, QuickTime from Apple, and MP3 for audio. Increasingly, you will see universal software player applications that are capable of handling multiple data formats for the consumer. Now, as I mentioned, the content is divided by the server as it transmits the data into small packets. Each packet generally encompasses less than a single frame of video. The process of streaming to a user begins when the user clicks on a button to receive access to a particular program or channel or a piece of content. During the process of making this request, the server receives technical data concerning the speed of the user's internet connection. Typically, webcasters encode their streaming broadcasts at several different speeds. This ensures that a user with a slower dial-up telephone connection can receive a good quality webcast experience, but that a user with a fast broadband connection can receive an even better quality webcast experience. Once streaming begins, the server can adjust the rate at which the data is being streamed to the user, up or down, to accommodate for variations in the speed and the quality of the internet connection. Streaming technology can transmit to users in two different ways, unicast and multicast. Most internet streaming today is unicast. That is, a server sends one stream for each individual user. The same programming is sent by unicasting to each user, and for each user, there is a single stream. Multicast technology allows a server to send a single stream that will be received by many users. This is accomplished as follows. The webcaster's server sends a stream to an internet service provider that has implemented multicast capability. That service provider takes the stream from the webcaster and then sends it to multiple users who request that same particular program. The benefit of multicasting is that it reduces traffic over the internet backbone, and it increases the webcaster's ability to reach a broader audience using a smaller number of servers. So in this illustration of unicast technology, three users on the right have asked for a particular access to a webcast. The webcaster then sends a stream through the internet to each individual user. So there are three consumers who use the same internet service provider. Each receives his own stream of content from the webcast server. In the multicast environment, a user asks for access to a webcast. The webcaster server sends a stream to the internet service provider. The internet service provider then is capable of sending the single stream received from the webcaster server to multiple individual users. When streaming data is sent over the internet, it will pass through a variety of computers and computing devices on the internet network before it reaches its final destination. These devices may temporarily store a small number of packets. They do this solely for technical reasons, to ensure proper transmission to the user. But these devices do not store the webcast data for any significant period of time. These network devices do not understand the data that they transport. It is essentially meaningless to these devices whether the packet represents audio, video, text, email, still pictures, and so forth. The network treats a webcast data packet as it would treat any other packet of data. When webcast data is received in a user's personal computer, the data packets are received into the computer's temporary memory, which is known as a buffer. The player software takes the data in the buffer and places each packet first in its correct order for playback. The player software then plays the data as audio or video on the user's computer. After the data has been performed by the software, it is deleted. Now, why is it necessary to buffer these packets? As I previously noted, each packet is a very small amount of data, typically less than a frame of video, and each packet is sent separately over the internet. The internet transmits packets in bursts of data, rather than as continuous signals or waves. Therefore, the player collects enough of these packets to constitute a few seconds of audio or video. How many seconds it collects is determined by the player software, based on the speed of the internet connection and the processing speed of the computer. When enough data has been collected and buffered, the player begins to perform the content. As the data are being performed, the next packets of data arrive from the server and are placed into the buffer. Through this continuous process of buffering packets, playing the packets, and receiving more into the buffer, the player software is able to compensate for the burstiness, if you will, of the internet transmission. By buffering, the listener or viewer experiences a smooth, continuous program of audio or video, just like broadcast television or radio, without interruptions or without jitter. Now, importantly, these buffers are not accessible to the user except for the purpose of real-time playback. Streaming data is not written to the PC hard disk. It is not even necessarily stored in a single location in the computer's memory. And so it is really impossible to play back media from the buffers captured from this memory. In addition, streaming media can be protected in other ways against unauthorized consumer activities. Data can be streamed only to authorized users. Additional copying controls can be applied so as to permit or to thwart recording. I would note that in one of the first cases brought in the United States under the anti-circumvention provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, a court found that circumvention of these protections is unlawful. But this type of content control is suitable only with respect to consumer uses. These technologies do not prevent piracy of webcast signals. Such piracy occurs today in a few principal ways. One is by hacking directly into content streams, or by linking directly into hidden files on the content server. A pirate then will take these streams and retransmit them over its own internet website, as if it were its own webcast content. Another means of piracy is stealing of programs from servers. The names and locations of files that are used by webcasters on their servers are not available to the public. They are hidden. But by hacking into a webcaster's server, some pirates have been able to steal program files and to use them for their own internet webcasts. Until now, webcasters have used technological methods to thwart piracy of webcasts. But unfortunately, pirates are very sophisticated technologists. It is difficult to remain one step ahead of the pirates by technological means only, without appropriate legal protections against piracy. So, in closing, I thank you very much for your kind attention. If you have any questions, I would be pleased to answer them at the session this morning or at any time this week during the SCCR meeting. Thank you very much.